Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Heart of Lies by Lisa Edmonds, narrated by Felicity Monroe. Prologue. 4 years ago. I don't need a babysitter for a knock and talk, Dominic. I shut my car door a little louder than necessary and crossed my arms. Private Investigator Dominic Morelli left his truck parked across the street and joined me next to my car.
You're a long way from completing your apprentice hours, and you know that.
I took a step back. After nearly 3 months of working together, he should know I didn't like anyone getting within arm's reach. Maybe he didn't notice I always moved away, or maybe he didn't care that I was very protective of my personal space. Either was possible. Both annoyed me immensely. At 6'6" and well over 200 pounds, the former sheriff's investigator was an imposing figure, even without a uniform. He studied Joe McIntosh's house, his dark eyes taking in every detail with a cop's sharp gaze. Lights shone in the windows of several rooms despite the late hour. Not surprising, given McIntosh was a werewolf and shifters tended to be night owls. Dominic started toward the front door.
What do you plan to ask him?
I cursed under my breath and caught up with him halfway up the driveway. His long strides meant I had to scurry to get in front of him. This was my lead. I resented his attempt to take over, not to mention answering questions about why we were here. Yes, I was still in training, but Dominic asked me to explain every decision I made and every idea I had, and that had gotten old fast. Whenever I worked one-on-one with our boss, Mark Dunlap, he only asked me to explain myself when he disagreed with me. I suspected Dominic did it to force me to talk to him. Mark didn't mind my silence. Why he'd partnered me with Dominic, I had no idea. Maybe Mark was punishing him for some unknown transgression. I doubted Dominic had volunteered for the job. Dominic made an impatient sound when I didn't reply. Mainly, I want to know whether he's seen or talked to Tommy since his disappearance, I said crossly. I preceded him up the sidewalk toward the front door, despite his attempt to maneuver in front of me. He stayed right on my heels, too close again. I nearly sprinted up the walk to put distance between us.
And?
He prompted. I gritted my teeth. It's a long shot. They weren't much more than co-workers, according to Tommy's fiance. Given what we think we know about what's happened to Tommy, though, McIntosh might have a lead for us to follow if they've crossed paths recently. He grunted.
That's good. You've got exceptional instincts for someone with no background in law enforcement. We'll make a PI of you yet, Alice.
My breath caught in my chest.
We'll make a good little soldier of you yet, Ava.
My grandfather's voice was mocking, triumphant even.
You can't be stubborn forever. We'll break you. It's only a matter of time.
No, you won't. I coughed up blood. He laughed and walked away, leaving me hanging on a rack while a blood mage sliced my skin. I took a shaky breath and pushed the memory away. Even a full year after my escape from my grandfather's compound, the flashbacks had gotten worse, not better. And the nightmares? Those were worse, too. Much worse.
Alice?
Frowning, Dominic reached out as if he intended to touch my arm.
You okay?
I moved away. I'm fine. He let his hand drop to his side and softened his tone.
I don't think you are fine. You want to get coffee after we're done here and tell me what's going on?
No. I kept my response deliberately cold and short, so he understood I didn't want anyone prying into my life or offering sympathy. I needed my training hours, and nothing more.
Okay, then.
His expression hardened, and his voice turned businesslike again.
Whatever's distracting you, box it up and put it away. Deal with your demons when you're off the clock.
If only it worked that way, I thought. Aloud, I said, fair enough. Even if I wanted to, what would I tell him? That I was plagued by flashbacks of years of torture by my grandfather? That I swore sometimes I could smell the old man's cologne, as if Moses was right behind me, ready to drag me back to Baltimore in chains? Not an option. Those secrets could get me and everyone around me killed. Besides, I wasn't the sharing type. Never had been, never would be. I reached for the doorbell, then paused. A raised voice drifted out to the porch from inside the house. I knew that voice. Dominic joined me at the door. I moved so he didn't brush against me.
What is it?
He asked quietly.
Your spidey senses telling you something?
They're not spidey senses, I snapped in an undertone. Magic was all too real, not some comic book superpower. Listen. He pressed his ear to the door. Doesn't that sound like Tommy? I asked. Grimly, he nodded.
It sure does.
Why would he be here? I wondered aloud. At a coworker's house, of all places, and not home with his family.
I don't know.
Dominic's frown deepened.
I can't tell what he's saying, and I don't hear anyone else talking. Where is Joe McIntosh?
I hesitated. Should I knock? Call Tommy's fiance and let her know we'd found him? Call his parents? Call Mark? I sure as hell needed to call someone. I reached for my phone. The door swung open, revealing a young man in jeans and a t-shirt splattered with blood. In his right hand, he held what appeared to be a bomb detonator. His thumb hovered over the button. His eyes glowed bright amber.
Throw your phones and weapons into the bushes behind you,
Tommy Detman ordered us,
and then get inside.
Well, shit. Once we'd followed his commands and given up our phones and Dominic's gun, Tommy took us to the living room and pointed at the wall.
Stand there with your hands up. If either of you move one inch, I'll blow us all to hell.
Grim and silent, we obeyed. Beside me, Dominic stood perfectly still with his hands raised. Tommy had caught us completely flat-footed. If we lived through this, our boss would have both our asses. The young man we'd spent the past 2 weeks trying to find faced us with his back against the opposite wall. Tommy towered over a semi-conscious man with blood in his hair. He was barely recognizable from the photos and videos his fiance Hannah had shown us. He'd buzzed his blonde hair close to his scalp. He hadn't shaved in days, and he'd gone from an average build to lean and wiry. Most notably, golden shifter magic sizzled on my skin. That confirmed what we'd suspected had happened to him, but I couldn't feel anything close to good about being right. The man on the floor, who I guessed was Joe McIntosh, groaned weakly. Judging by the pool of blood, Tommy had probably hit him hard enough to fracture his skull. It took a lot to knock a shifter out. Normally, a werewolf would heal even a fractured skull easily by shifting into wolf form, but Tommy had planned ahead. A silver knife stuck out of Joe's upper right arm. The blade prevented him from shifting, and the head injury and poisonous silver would kill him slowly. I doubted they'd get the chance, however, given Tommy had secured a pipe bomb around Joe's neck with a thick steel cable. As we took in the grisly sight, Tommy showed us the detonator again, his thumb hovering over the button.
I said, get your hands up!
Dominic and I raised our hands higher. I wasn't sure what kind of thoughts ran through the head of the longtime PI beside me, but I was focused on possible ways to get that detonator away from Tommy before he had a chance to kill us all. I had to assume Dominic had the same goal in mind.
Dead man sensor!
Tommy raised the detonator and snarled. He'd probably guessed what we were thinking.
If it hits the floor, the bomb goes off.
In other words, even if one of us managed to drop him, we'd be dead a half second later. There went any chance of using my air magic to knock the detonator from his hand, or my earth magic to split the floor under him. For some reason, Dominic moved slightly in front of me. His body certainly wouldn't keep me alive if that bomb went off, and why he would even consider shielding me, I had no idea. We'd only worked together for 3 months. I barely knew him, which was to say I knew him exactly as well as I wanted to know anyone. Cop instincts had probably kicked in and told him to protect the civilian. That got my hackles up. I was perfectly capable of protecting myself. Protecting myself, but not Dominic, too. Damn it.
Tommy, talk to me.
Dominic held his hands out and used his body language and tone to signal he didn't intend to attack. He was in cop mode now. I knew the drill. Get them talking. Keep them talking. Use their name. Establish rapport. Try to talk them down. He figured it was up to him to save us. After all, what use could a greenhorn apprentice mage PI be?
How do you know my name?
Tommy's lip curled to show his teeth. A growl edged his voice.
And how the hell did you find me?
His wolf lurked so near his skin, I expected him to shift at any moment from the force of his rage. Our investigation indicated Tommy had only been a werewolf for about 3 months. Newly turned shifters could go furry at the drop of a hat, especially when they didn't have an alpha or pack to help stabilize them or teach them control. As far as we knew, Tommy hadn't had anyone to help him, so involuntary shifting was a very real possibility. Shifting would be bad because his hands would clench with the first spasm. He'd hit that button and kaboom. Or he'd drop the detonator and same result. Dominic had figured that out too. My partner moved another inch in front of me and injected more calm into his voice.
Hannah misses you, Tommy. Your fiancé is worried sick about you. She asked us to find you and bring you home.
Tommy jerked.
Did you tell her?
I flinched. In his rage, I thought he might hit the button on accident.
No, we haven't,
Dominic stated. If I hadn't known the truth, I wouldn't have known he was lying. I was a good liar. Practice makes perfect, after all. But Dominic was good, too. The ability to lie well and think fast were essential skills for a PI. We'd broken the news to Hannah already. She was heartbroken. Not because Tommy was a werewolf now and had run away as a result, but because he hadn't come home to her. What kind of person does he think I am? She demanded tearfully of us yesterday, once the shock had worn off and she could talk. Does he think I'd hate him now? No, but I think he hates himself, I told her. She started bawling again. Dominic had stepped on my foot. Hard.
Be kind, he ordered as Hannah sobbed.
I stayed silent after that. I wasn't good at being kind. Kindness was a luxury I'd never had, and compassion from others was a trick, always. I'd learned that early, the hard way. My new boss, Mark, always showed me incredible kindness. Every day I expected to find out what the catch was, what he wanted in return for his generosity. So far, he'd demanded only daily reports on his desk by 5 o'clock and no drinking on the job. But I remained wary. Of course, our working relationship might change drastically after this disaster, assuming I survived. I studied Tommy as he loomed over Joe McIntosh, brandishing a detonator and glaring at us with bright amber eyes, and figured kindness wasn't going to get us out of here alive. What the hell are you doing? I asked. Dominic's shoulders went rigid. I ignored him and locked gazes with Tommy. You plan to blow yourself up and break the hearts of your fiancé and family? And then add insult to injury by not even leaving them anything to bury?
I'm a monster,
he snarled and kicked Joe hard in the ribs. The semi-conscious man groaned.
He made me a monster. He deserves to die.
We aren't talking about Joe or what he did or what he deserves. We're talking about your family. I stepped around Dominic. His expression was thunderous. If he could have growled at me, he would have. The truth is, we told Hannah what happened to you. Dominic sucked in a breath. His face twisted in rage, and thumb a millimeter from the button, Tommy opened his mouth. You know what she told us? I asked before he could shout or howl. She said, you must not think much of her if you think she'd reject you. He flinched, so Hannah still meant something to him. She wants you to come home so she can take care of you, I added. He bared his teeth at me.
I don't believe you.
It's the truth, I shrugged. I don't lie to make people feel better.
Damn it, Alice, shut up,
Dominic muttered.
Yes, shut up, Alice,
Tommy kicked Joe again. The injured man must have lost consciousness because he didn't react. Shutting up was also something I wasn't good at. I had just as much to lose as Dominic if Tommy hit that button. I hadn't risked my life a dozen times in a dozen different ways escaping from my grandfather to get blown up tonight. Plus, I'd just splurged on a bottle of good scotch, which waited for me at home. Your parents don't know you're a shifter, I told him. Hannah said she'd go with you to tell them. Your mother calls her twice a day to see if she's heard from you. Your father has raised 20 grand for a reward for information about your whereabouts. I think you know damn well they won't care if you turn into a wolf on the full moon. You're their only child. They'd love you if you came back with 3 heads and 2 extra arms. Fur isn't going to bother them much. They just want you home. Dominic's anger was almost as palpable as Tommy's. He'd probably love nothing more than to slap duct tape over my mouth and throw me in the trunk of my car. But Tommy was listening.
He bit me, Tommy kicked Joe again. I didn't deserve it.
No, you didn't, I told him. What he did was illegal and immoral. He'll go to prison for life. For a shifter, a life sentence is a long time.
It's not enough, he snarled. He should die. He killed me.
The negotiator's handbook probably stated on page 1 that when negotiating with a hostage taker, the best bet was to agree and not argue. But Tommy was wrong, and he needed to understand why. No, he didn't, I said. He changed you. It wasn't what you wanted, and your life will never be the same, but he didn't kill you.
I'd rather be dead than live with this curse.
He pointed to his glowing amber eyes.
Look at me. I'm a monster.
Being a werewolf doesn't make you a monster. Blowing people up does. We stared at each other. My name is Alice, I said. I'm a mage. A lot of people think mages are monsters, but monster is what you do, not who you are. And being a werewolf isn't a curse any more than it's a curse to be a mage.
Of course it's a curse. I turn into a wolf. I kill things.
People?
No.
Then you're fine. Wolves kill animals and eat them. Perfectly natural.
I'm unnatural.
I shook my head. Nope, again. Lycanthropes date back into prehistory, judging by petroglyphs and legend. Your lineage goes back a long, long way. Several emotions flashed in his amber eyes. Anger, grief, even a bit of frustration. He said nothing for a long time. Reassurance and comfort weren't my thing, but I understood talking someone back from the edge. Goodness knows I'd had to give myself a similar talk enough times. Did you know werewolves make really good therapy animals for traumatized kids? I asked him. You have to be trained, evaluated, and certified, but that's a gig they wouldn't give to monsters. Tommy finally spoke.
Get out!
I blinked. What? He jerked his chin toward the front door.
I said, get out, both of you. Keep your hands up until you're outside with the door closed.
Dominic took a step toward the hallway. I stayed where I was. I'm not leaving you here alone, Tommy. We told Hannah we'd find you and bring you home.
Stop talking about her, he shouted. If you say her name one more time, I'll hit the button. Alice, let's go, Dominic ordered.
No, I focused on Tommy. You're no monster. Besides, killing Joe isn't the punishment he deserves. He should live a very long time knowing what he did to you. Blowing his head off with a bomb is too quick. Let him rot in the Colorado Springs Federal Ultramax Soup Prison for the rest of his life. My voice turned harsh.
Don't be merciful.
Dominic twitched. Tommy's lip curled.
What the hell do you know about just punishments, Mage? You think you know so much?
He took a step toward me.
You don't know shit about what it's like to have your life ripped away. It took damn near 3 months to find the monster who did this to me. I've been living for this moment right here, when I finally make him pay. Wake up, asshole!
He kicked Joe hard enough to shatter his ribs. The prone man groaned.
I want you to be awake when you die.
Alice, I said. Tommy snarled.
What?
My name is Alice, not Mage, I said. People used to call me that because they didn't think I deserved to have a name. I cut myself off before I said any more.
Mage, stupid girl, stubborn, ungrateful child.
Moses had called me all those things and worse. I'd revealed too much by saying I'd once been called just Mage instead of my name. The real Alice Worth hadn't been abused and dehumanized. Her life had been privileged and nearly perfect, at least until recently. No one would have called her Mage. I didn't need to give Dominic any reason to wonder why I'd been called that, or by whom. When Tommy didn't reply, I said, "Your name is Tommy, beloved only son of George and Kathy Detman, Hannah's fiance. You have a family. Let us turn Joe over to the feds so you can go home to your family." His grip relaxed on the detonator. The hot prickling sensation on my skin faded. "Go home," I repeated, my voice heavy with unfamiliar emotion. I thought of my own parents, long gone, and swallowed hard.
"Go home because you can."
He lowered his hand. I'd finally gotten through to him enough for him to think about his parents and Hannah and their life together. He knew he had people he could go to who loved him and wouldn't care he was a shifter now. He believed me. My shoulders sagged in relief. I'd saved him and Joe and Dominic and myself, too. Even if Mark wrote me up or fired me for disobeying Dominic or Dominic refused to ever work with me again, it would be worth it. It was too late to save Tommy from Joe McIntosh's bite, but I could at least save him from his own despair. Suddenly, Tommy's shifter magic prickled on my arms even more painfully than before.
"They'll put me in jail for this."
Something dark flashed in his eyes.
"I'm not going to prison."
"You won't," I said, maybe a little too quickly. "It's Joe who will go to prison, not you."
"I don't believe you. I beat a man nearly to death and threatened to kill him with a bomb. They'll put me in that soup prison, too."
"No, they..." He raised the detonator.
"You've got 2 seconds to get out."
Dominic grabbed my arm and pulled me toward the door.
"Alice, let's go."
I twisted out of his grip.
"No, Tommy, don't."
Several things happened almost simultaneously. Tommy snarled, Joe McIntosh moaned. I raised my hands and formed an air magic shield, making it as wide as I dared. I'd been spooling magic since we walked in the door. An air magic shield was my best and only defense against an explosion. It wouldn't be large enough or strong enough to protect both Dominic and me completely, but I couldn't just save myself and let him die.
Kelly,
Dominic whispered, his wife's name. Tommy's thumb moved.
Boom!
A wall of fire hit my shield like a sledgehammer. Pain erupted all over my body as some of the shrapnel got through the shield. The force of the explosion sent Dominic and me flying. I couldn't save him. I didn't know if I meant Tommy, Dominic, or Joe, or all three. Grief, bitter and heavy like a stone, lodged in my gut. A moment later, I hit something solid, and all was darkness. Chapter 1. 4 years later, present day. We found a body in our front yard this morning. All things considered, I was surprised it hadn't happened to me before. I'd just put shampoo in my hair when Sean opened the bathroom door and stuck his head in.
Alice, just so you know, there's a body in the yard.
I paused mid-lather and squinted at him through the glass wall of the shower. Okay? It is walking toward us?
No, it's dead-dead, not undead.
Phew. Anybody we know?
I don't think so. I need to give him a good sniff to be sure.
For most people, a dead body would be a job for the police, but calling the cops out to our house would likely lead to questions none of us wanted to answer. So this was a job for me, Alice Worth, Mage Private Investigator, who could still taste the whiskey from last night. And for my boyfriend, Sean Macklin, who'd drunk me under the table mere hours ago but showed no sign whatsoever of a hangover. Blasted werewolf metabolism. Sean leaned against the doorframe, his dark brown eyes glowing golden at the sight of me in the shower. Since he didn't have to go into the office today, he wore battered jeans, sneakers, and a t-shirt that stretched across his broad shoulders. I had the sudden urge to take that shirt off with my teeth. I'd hoped I might entice him into the shower, but I supposed a dead body in the yard took precedence over my libido.
Daniel and I are going out to get a closer look,
he added with obvious reluctance. No doubt he would have preferred to join me.
I'll keep you posted.
Was he killed here or just dumped? I asked.
Daniel says it looks like someone dumped the body.
So much for an indulgent, leisurely shower. With a sigh, I turned to put my head under the spray. I'll be down in a few minutes.
Don't rush. He won't be getting any deader.
The door closed. I hadn't even had any coffee yet. Son of a bitch. 15 minutes later, wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and flip-flops, with my long dark hair in a braid, I came downstairs. The house was blissfully quiet for a change. Sean and I were still in the process of settling into our new home. Members of our pack and various friends had been helping us move the last of our things and hanging out virtually nonstop. As much as I loved the sense of strength and belonging that came with having everyone at our house, I'd told Sean that he needed a break from the revolving door of visitors. He'd made some calls and presto, empty house, peace and quiet. Our dog, Rogue, a large husky mix with endless energy and an equally endless capacity for shedding fur everywhere, met me at the foot of the stairs. Hey, Furface, I scratched his head. How did someone dump a body in our yard last night and you didn't even bark? Some guard dog you are. To be fair, even with their werewolf hearing, Sean and my father apparently hadn't heard our visitors. Esme, my little house cat dragon, hadn't woken us either. That made the presence of a body even more intriguing and troubling. If we had a gap in our security, we needed to find out how and why. Rogue sneezed and followed me into the kitchen. I made a beeline for our very fancy new coffee maker. A housewarming gift from Nan Lowell.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?